Jambo.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
What up, good people? Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not a show, a documentary, a document, current event news, anything that you can get through a screen of any particular type is worth watching. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PacSync through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us on www.freedomtrainradio.com. or on iTunes or Google Play Music. Be sure to head to both places and give us a review. And also be sure to head to PacSync.org. That's www.PACTSINC.org to show some love and check out what our sponsors are doing. PacSync is a black activist organization focused on developing the black community through a shift in culture, education, and economics. And as always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference that aligns with the perspective of the black community. So everything that we look at will be looked at with a racial component involved and with some lessons that can be used to improve our community. This week, we will be talking about a current event for the first time on the show. We'll be digging into the Catalan people and the referendum they recently had as they voted for independence from Spain. This move shook the Spanish nation and has the entire globe watching and talking. But there are a lot of important lessons here for the black community, for black people. And in this show, we're going to dig into that lesson. We're going to give you a little bit of the history, a little bit of the current events, and then we're going to dig into, as we always do, the lessons that we can pull from these current events. So get excited. This week, we will be discussing the Catalonia sovereignty issue. So the Catalonia issue goes back a few centuries, and before we can actually discuss the issue, we got to give you guys a brief history lesson. And I don't want anybody to be under the assumption that this is a complete history lesson. It is a brief overview that is meant to give a limited perspective so that you can understand some of the things that we say when we say them. So we'll get into it. Before modern day Spain was modern day Spain, it was a collection of autonomous regions, with Catalonia being one of those regions. The War of Spanish Succession united those regions into what we know as modern day Spain in the early 1700s. The Catalan region maintained its culture, customs, and language through this entire time, even with the Spanish government trying to impose its own culture, customs, laws, and language on the region. The Spanish government finally gave up in 1931. It was a 200-year effort. Just want to highlight that. Effort they failed at. And this resulted in the restoration of the Catalan government. In 1938, General Franco tried to subjugate the Catalan culture and language again during the Spanish Civil War. And while he did win the war and conquered the region, Catalan culture continued to thrive in Catalonia. And in 1977, 2 years after the death of General Franco, and with the return of democracy to Spain, the Catalan region was granted autonomy again. Independence voices have kind of always been rumbling, and they began to grow in the region. And in 2010, the Constitutional Court in Madrid overruled an autonomy statute saying that there was no legal basis for Catalonia to be recognized as a nation within a nation. The economic crisis that Spain has been dealing with has grown rifts between the Catalonia region and the Spanish government, and many in Catalonia believe that they are propping up the rest of the nation. This region makes up 20% of Spain's GDP, but the region does owe the Spanish government $52 billion. So the numbers, Catalonia has a population of about 7.5 million, and 95% of its population speaks and understands its own language, which is pretty impressive for a nation within a nation. Typically, when we see situations like that, at least from my research, or my experience anyways, the custom language, the native language, tends to, as generation passes, fall out. Although Catalonia has been autonomous for a large amount of time, so I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. As of October 1st, 2017, 2.5 million people voiced their desire to be an independent nation during the referendum. The referendum was declared illegal. The police were sent in to break up the vote. Violence ensued. The region would not back down, so the government dissolved the regional government. They basically took away their autonomy and took direct control of the region. They imprisoned the elected leaders and are forcing a new election. And the former president, along with some of his cabinet members, are now refugees seeking safety guarantees or asylum before they will return from, I believe it's Belgium. So here we have the sovereignty issue, modern day example of it, laid bare for all of us. And the reason why I think this is important, and this is really one of the single most important lessons that we can pull out of this, and the reason why I think this is important, is because there are a lot of voices currently within the community screaming about sovereignty, literally screaming about it. And the number seems to be growing, and the amount of people that are buying into it, or that are agreeing with it, I shouldn't say buying into it because they're not being fooled, but that are agreeing with it, continues to grow. And it doesn't seem like anybody is really looking at the sovereignty issue for what it is. And here, with regards to Catalonia and Spain, we have a perfect example of the sovereignty issue laid bare in a location and in a region and with a group of people that are in a better position to achieve sovereignty than we are in America. So I think it's especially powerful. And the issue of sovereignty basically for me has two big issues. So sovereignty is, and before we get into all of that, sovereignty is basically supreme power and authority to govern yourself, to basically do whatever you want to do as a group of people, to have nobody else that you have to ask for permission before you decide to make moves within your group. Now, the key issue with sovereignty, the number one issue with sovereignty, out of the two big issues, this is the single most important issue, and it is the first of the big issues, is that sovereignty must be recognized. It must be recognized. Sovereignty is not something that you can arbitrarily claim. Your sovereignty has to be recognized by other people in order for it to be valid. So in a sense, even though it is essentially something you can claim, you can say, I am sovereign, before it has any real power, that claim has to be recognized. So in another sense, in a more powerful sense, sovereignty is something that has to be granted by the rest of the people. It is something that has to be recognized and accepted. And then the second big issue is that sovereignty must be defended. Meaning, if somebody doesn't recognize your sovereignty and decides they want to impose themselves on you, you must have the ability to defend your sovereignty. Now, your sovereignty must first be recognized before you can even gain the ability to defend it. Because if nobody recognizes your sovereignty, and then you try to fight against a power who people recognize as being sovereign over you, they're going to get the aid in subjugating you. Or even if that isn't the case, no one is going to come to your aid if and when you need it. two big issues. So when we go back to the first issue, sovereignty must be recognized. This is something we see borne out again and again throughout history. Your sovereignty has to be recognized. We bring it back here to the United States. Morocco was the first nation to recognize America after it declared its independence from Britain. Listen, it declared independence. And then the sovereignty was recognized by other nations. And this is why you had other nations willing to come and support America in its war with the British, because they recognized American independence. Now, there are a bunch of different reasons why someone would choose to recognize your independence. It might not even be to support you so much as it might be to weaken the person that you are separating, or the group that you're separating yourself from. But that's neither here or there, and it's outside of the scope of this discussion. What is important is that it must be recognized. If no one, I'll say this again, if no one recognizes you as a nation, then you can't claim to be independent. Not with any real merit or power. So then we ask the question, who would recognize Black American sovereignty? If we as a culture group decided that, and this is not me trying to bash, this is me asking a legitimate question that we need to think about as a culture group when we have these conversations on sovereignty. Who would recognize Black American sovereignty? The second issue, sovereignty must be defended. And this can be broken down on an individual level, because as an individual, you have to defend your ability to live your life the way you want to live it on a daily basis. This could be defending it from parents, from siblings, from friends, from enemies that want to impose their beliefs, their values, and their morals on you and have you live your life in accordance with their wishes. Or it could be defending it physically from someone that is trying to beat you up or physically do you harm or use their own physical being to get you to do what they want you to do. So there are, and even economically and socially, and we can go down the list, but you as an individual have to defend your ability to live your life the way you want to live it on a daily basis. The same is true for groups and nations. Throughout history, whenever a group of people have made a claim of sovereignty, another group of people at some point has challenged that claim. I'm not saying every time, but I am saying that it is very reoccurring throughout history. The nations that we currently recognize as nations were those that were able to defend their claim of independence. They were able to defend it militarily. They were able to defend it economically. They were able to defend it socially and academically and all of the other ways that they have to defend it in order to maintain their independence, in order to maintain their recognition as an independent sovereign nation. So Catalonia has lost the battle to defend its sovereignty two times, to defend its autonomy two times. And they're still fighting for their autonomy. The problem is no one recognizes that their sovereignty or their independence. Everyone recognizes Spain as being sovereign over Catalonia, which is why there are very, 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 very few to no countries coming to Catalonia's aid, and why Spain seems to be getting backed by most of the nations in Europe and in the world in general, the nations that give a damn anyways. So in America, we have another good example of this sovereignty issue playing out. So one of the things when we talk about the Civil War, which is something we talk about a lot in America, especially as Black people, it's constantly debated what the war was fought over. Was it fought over the free slaves? Was it fought over to prevent the spread of slavery? Was it fought over for all these different reasons? And us as Black people being former slaves, that's something that we talk about a lot. One thing that's never really talked about, though, is the condition of the South in relation to the North when it comes to sovereignty. See, the term civil war in itself is broken, because the civil war implies that two people from the same nation are fighting to see who is going to control that nation. That was not what the Civil War was. The South had declared independence from the North. It had claimed and proclaimed its sovereignty. It was a separate nation. So what the Civil War was, in fact, was the North invading the South and conquering the South. It was a northern conquest of the South. It was one nation conquering another nation. Now, again, we can get into all of the morals and values of the rights and the wrongs, and was it justified and was it not justified, but that's a different conversation. The fact of the matter is, the South claimed sovereignty. They set themselves up as an independent nation with an independent governor, or independent ruler class, ruling class rulership. They had their own president. They had their own Congress. They were set up as an entirely separate nation. And I know I keep repeating myself because I want to make sure that you guys understand this. They claimed sovereignty and claimed independence. And the North essentially challenged that claim by invading the South. The South lost. We all know that. The South lost. And now we call it a civil war. The South lost. And we don't even recognize the South as a former independent nation. We don't even recognize the culture that the South had propagated that was so much different from the North. And currently, we are having debates because the South still has statues and monuments up in dedication to its historical position in America, more specifically to its historical position being an independent nation in America, on the American continent, should I say. They lost, and now we don't even recognize that portion of history for what it is. It's almost been completely written over. And this is another example of sovereignty at work, and the reason, and another example of why you can't just claim sovereignty and expect other people to recognize it. And you can't expect that even if they do recognize it, you would be able to defend it and maintain it. So the second question we have to ask ourselves as Black people is, how would we defend Black American sovereignty? How would we maintain our sovereignty in the face of someone trying to take it away from us? How would we maintain that independence? And again, this is not me trying to disparage the idea of sovereignty or independence. I'm strongly in favor of a strong, independent Black community. I'm strongly in favor of the nation within a nation setup. I'm strongly in favor of developing community ties and community relationships economically, socially, and all those other ways with other countries independently. But when we bring up this term sovereignty, we have to consider deeper, who would recognize us as an independent nation, a nation within a nation, and how would we defend it? Then we get into all these smaller auxiliary issues, such as the issues of governance, where, you know, when we go to Catalonia, it is widely believed that the majority of Catalonians don't want independence from Spain. You know, when you go back to the referendum, there's 7.5 million people in Catalonia. Only 2.5 million of those people actually voted, and only 90% of those that voted actually said they wanted independence from Spain. There is a larger majority that is believed to not really want independence from Spain. So then we begin to ask ourselves, as the loud minority screams, is this something that the silent majority really wants? And is that something that we should care about? Is that something that the vocal majority should care about? Should they concern themselves with what the silent majority actually wants when it comes to issues of governance? The second issue we will have is mostly a cultural issue. In Black America, we primarily vote based on race. I'm sorry. In Black America, we primarily vote based on party. Race is a distant second. We don't vote black first. We vote Democrat first. And if the Democrat happens to be black, then that's a double positive. They get our votes. And this is borne out by the fact that we will vote for a white Democrat before we vote for a black Republican. That's not even debatable. So, with that being the case, when it came to governing our sovereign independent nation, we would have to look at a populace that isn't really trained to pay attention politically to issues. They're trained politically to pay attention to parties, which makes governing independently extraordinarily interesting, to say the least. Now, I'm not going to get too deep into that. I'm going to leave that there. But it is extremely difficult to rule a group of people to their satisfaction when they aren't letting you know how they feel about the actual issues, but are instead letting you know how they feel about basically who you're affiliated with. So the other issue that we will have to face is the issue of national credibility. And this isn't our issue. This is an issue that we would have with America. And this is basically a question. What makes us think that a nation that has reneged on most of its promises to minority groups will hold true to any sort of declaration of independence that we would make, or will hold true to any sort of treaty that we would make with them? Political agreements, we go back to this idea that you have to defend your sovereignty. Political agreements are only as powerful as your ability to impose punishment for their violation. The political agreement Catalonia had with the Spanish government for autonomy was violated by Spain, and the Catalonian people had very limited abilities to impose any sort of punishment on Spain for violating that political agreement. America has political agreements with Native Americans that they violate all the time. America has violated its agreements with our neighboring countries, Canada and Spain. And with Donald Trump coming in office, he's violated our political agreements with numerous countries the world over. Agreements that were made under President Obama that Trump has simply said, you know what, we're not going to do that. So what makes us seriously think that we would be able to trust any sort of treaty or political agreement we would develop with America, even if they did recognize our sovereignty and our independence? In addition to the other issues we would have about defending our sovereignty and independence, especially living within a nation and not having anywhere else to go as a collective, and not even being sure if the majority of us will want to take part in something like that. So if we truly want to liberate Black America, there are several steps that we can take, and some that can be taken immediately, and all of which can move us forward in a more productive manner than constantly screaming about sovereignty while ignoring the current events that are providing us with lessons and perspectives on sovereignty that are happening all over the place. You know, and these things aren't complicated. You know, you could talk to your local, get involved in your local politics. You could start following political stances and stop following parties. You know, start figuring out what politicians stand for based on what they stand for and completely ignore the party. Get involved in local public education by getting involved in the school board. Shift the culture in your local community to be more productive and conducive to Black development and achievement by encouraging the youth to celebrate Black progressive achievements in the community, whereas now we only tend to celebrate white progressive achievements. And that the mere fact that some of you will listen to that statement and not even understand what I mean is a problem. When I speak about Black progressive statements, black progress, I'm speaking of progress within the community that empowers and builds and creates things for the community, things that we can control, things that benefit us primarily. When I speak of white progress, I'm speaking of things that change the dominant community, things that change white people, things that allow us to have greater access to their systems. We can also create programs that educate on Black history. We can't even claim to be proud of ourselves as a people if we don't know our true history outside of the big three that they teach us in the white community and the broken version of them that they give us. Speak to each other. Be nice to each other. Hold each other accountable. All these things. Get out of the rugged individualism. All of these things play a part. Understand that what one person does affects everyone in that community, either directly or indirectly. There is no such thing as what you're doing doesn't affect anybody but you. There is no such thing as that. That is a myth. I mean, and we could keep going. We could do a show just on this. But I really think it's important that we take a look at this particular current event. We follow it. We make sure that we're learning our lessons from the current events that are happening, and we adjust our conversations and our perspectives accordingly. This event definitely, definitely, definitely is a must-follow event with a score of 5 out of 5 on our rating system. I don't know what we're going to call our rating system just yet. I had to come up with a name for it. Or maybe I'll ask some other people and they'll give me a name for it. I don't know. But right now, it's just called the rating system. So, but it's definitely a 5 out of 5 situation. You can find a few links to the news stories for this stuff on the Freedom Train website in the Lessons for the Screen area. Again, that's www.freedomtrainradio.com. And we will see you next week for another episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review. So you only spend time on the docs that you need to.